So good morning once again. Great day to be together serving Jesus, is it not? We've been called, we've been set apart, and we're gathered here today for a reason. I don't know your theology on this, but it's fine if yours differs from me, but I believe that there isn't a single person in this room who is either here this morning or watching on the live stream or will watch this video later that wasn't meant to hear the words for today, because I believe that God brought each and every one of us here for a purpose, that there is something today that each of us needs to hear. And so what I want to do, we've been in this series that we have called Hello, My Name Is, for this is week 8. Can you believe that? It's actually been longer than 8 weeks because we've missed a few weeks there. I was on vacation. We have been talking about what it means to be ambassadors, to be disciple makers, to be witnesses for Jesus, and what that mission is and how we accomplish that. But I would like just to review where we've been over the last 7 weeks or 7 sessions together. In session 1, we introduced the importance of understanding that every one of us has a sphere of influence. Every one of us have people who look to us, who we spend time with, who know us well, and we have an opportunity to influence them for God, and God has given those people to us for a reason. In session 2, we introduced the topic of spiritual CPR, that life-giving plan of God to bring spiritual life to people who do not yet know Him. In session 3, we began to look in more detail at the components of what we call spiritual CPR, and we talked about cultivating relationships with those who are yet to have a relationship with Jesus, with the purpose of influencing them towards that end. In session 4, we talked about the idea of planting seeds of Jesus into those relationships by talking about Jesus, by sharing our story of faith, by living out the gospel in front of people. In session 5, we talked about reaping and what that looks like in the context of relationships with pre-Christian people. We dealt with how to continue that relationship if we're met with a negative response or even hostility. We talked about 2 very simple ways to share the gospel with people, through the gospel booklet and also through the memorizing the single verse method of sharing the gospel. In session 6, we learned that the relationships that we have are most effective when we engage in the normal everyday rhythms of life, which we call the everyday stuff. We challenged ourselves to see where we could invite others into those everyday rhythms to help them see Jesus in our lives. And then last week we talked about why all of this is important, which really probably maybe should have been the first week. Last week we talked about our mission. We looked at our mission of being witnesses, of being disciple makers, of being ambassadors for Jesus. And we were challenged that there is more to life than just living it for ourselves. And that brings us to today. Today we are going to be talking about our need for each other to make this thing happen. As I look back over the past several weeks of messages, I was taken by the fact that much of what we talked about seems rather daunting. It seems bigger than we can handle, overwhelming even. But today I want to offer you some encouragement for this task, because the truth of the matter is that we were never meant to do this all by ourselves. Is that you were not meant to reach out to your friends and to just do that on your own. And so we've titled the message this morning, Life Together. Did you know that there are many, many times in Scripture where we are commanded to do something with one another or to one another or for one another? You have a list of those in your bulletin. If you want to pull that out and take a look at it, you'll see what those are. And we'll talk about some of those today. But over and over and over and over again, the New Testament tells us that there are things that we should be doing for one another, with one another, to one another. And we're going to look at some of those today, because I want you to see that we are, in fact, in this life together. We are in this thing with each other. And so let's figure out how we're to work together to accomplish the work of the mission of being witnesses, being disciple makers, being ambassadors for Jesus. I want to begin with our theme passage, which we have been, hopefully by now you could quote it with your eyes closed. Maybe you'd like to try today, that's fine. But the words will be on the screen for those of you who don't quite have it yet. This is Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 15. Let's stand together in honor of the reading of God's word. Let's say it together. Here we go. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for what you have called us to do and to be and to think. Lord, how you have called us to be involved in each other's lives. And Lord, as we see today, we're going to see a number of ways in which you have called us to be involved in the lives of each other. And I pray, Lord, that as we look at these things, that we would be encouraged, that we would be uplifted, that we would be even challenged maybe a little bit to be more intentional about how we relate to one another. Lord, I pray that you would give us strength. I pray that you would give us wisdom. I pray that you would give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to receive your word so that you would be honored and glorified in each of us. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth would not be my own, but that you would use them in the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish what you want to accomplish in each of our lives this morning. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So this morning, like I said, we want to talk about doing life together. One of the things, as you know, many of you know, most of you know, my family, well, my oldest son and my middle daughter, we do a hockey podcast together. And this is kind of, this time of year is kind of the exciting time for us. Because preseason is happening, training camp's been going on for a couple of weeks. We're seeing glimpses of what's going on there, and it's exciting to see what's going on in training camp. Well, this past weekend, the team that we follow, the Pittsburgh Penguins, their captain, his name is Sidney Crosby. And Sidney Crosby is from a town in Nova Scotia called Cole Harbour. And one of the things that the team decided to do this year was to play one of their preseason games in Sidney Crosby's hometown of Cole Harbour. And as the reports have been coming over the weekend of things that have been happening, one of the things that Sidney decided to do was to set up a scavenger hunt for his teammates to kind of get to know his city, where he grew up, and all those kinds of things. And it's been fun to kind of read some of the reports of the guys like splitting into teams of about five guys and going to this place or that place and trying to get the pictures and all the items that need to be gotten and so forth. And the reason I bring that up is because with any kind of group, there is a sense of togetherness, right? When you think about a sports team, you are looking to accomplish from game to game to win the game. And you're playing the game to win the game, to quote Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. And the thing about sports, especially team sports, is that there's not just one person who can win a game. As a hockey fan, one of the greatest players in all of the world is a guy by the name of Connor McDavid. The guy can score just about any time he wants to, and he's an amazing athlete, an amazing player. But his team, the Edmonton Oilers, have never even made the Western Conference. Well, no, they did make the Western Conference Finals once. But they haven't ever made it to the Stanley Cup because one person can't win a game. And the same is true in this life that we live as Christians. We need each other. We need, just like on a team, every player doing their part, every one of us needs to do what God has called us to do. And that is what we want to talk about today when we look at, when the Bible tells us over and over and over again, do this for one another, or do this to one another, or don't do this to one another. These are the things that we want to look at this morning and try to encourage each other to live this way. So let's look at these. If you got that list, you can look at it, but I want to begin on the positive side. Here are some things that God tells us to do for one another. And probably the most important one, because 13 times in the Gospels, 13 times in the Epistles, in the New Testament, God tells us to do this. Do you know what it is? If you're looking at the list, you know. It's love one another. Jesus told his disciples, love one another. A new command I give you, love one another. Paul said, you know, love one another with brotherly love. These are the things that God is asking us to do. And what does it mean to love one another? Well, we can go to passages like Romans chapter 12, where he says, chapter 12 and verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love. And there's another one another. Honor one another above yourselves. There's another one another. I'm going to get tongue-tied here in a minute. But these are things that God is calling us to be and to do. And 13 times in scriptures and in the Gospels, he tells us, love one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, love is patient and kind. It doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it isn't proud, it isn't rude. It does not seek its own. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And this is the kind of love that we are to give to one another. And again, that chapter comes in the context of talking about the church. It's talking about being one body. It talks about being in a connected relationship with the body of Christ. Christ is the head. We are the members of the body. And so we are to love one another. Another one that is we are told a lot to do is to encourage one another. Encourage one another. And this is one of those things that I think can sometimes, I got to be careful how I say this. We can think we're encouraging each other when actually we're doing one of the don'ts, which we're going to look at in a minute. As we encourage one another, what we are doing is we are reminding each other of who our God is. We're reminding each other that, yes, this task that we have in front of us, being His witnesses, being disciple makers, being His ambassadors, these are jobs that we can't do on our own. But be of good cheer, because you have God on your side. God the Father has done the work. God the Son died in your place, and everything is ready. God the Holy Spirit lives within you, so that wherever you go and whatever it is that God gives you to say, His word does not return void. So we need to encourage one another. Here's another one that it's said a couple of times in the scriptures, bear with each other. Do we need to hear this? Do we need to bear with one another? Are there times that, that we can act like bears with one another? Absolutely. There are times when I get on people's nerves, believe it or not. Well, my wife believes it. There are times when you can get on others' nerves. And God says, bear with each other. Another way to put that is put up with each other. God has given the people that are in your life to you for a purpose. And sometimes God tells us to bear up with each other, to bear with each other, because what God is actually using that person in your life to do is to hone off some rough edges in you. We don't like that. We don't like to be confronted. We don't like to be said, hey, you're doing this wrong. But we need to bear with each other. And sometimes God uses that to hone in us what needs to be honed. Here's another one. Forgive one another. Do we need that? Who here needs to be forgiven? Yeah. If you didn't raise your hand, we'll forgive you for lying. Just kidding. Bear with me. No, it's a little joke. Anyway, we need to forgive one another. We're told in Scripture that the forgiveness that we give needs to look like the forgiveness that Christ. We need to forgive as Christ forgave us. And how did Christ forgive? Before we deserved it. Well, we don't deserve it. Before we asked Him to forgive us, He forgave us. Forgiveness was purchased. This is what we celebrated here. That forgiveness is available because of the blood of Jesus. And not only can He forgive us, but we can forgive each other because of that same blood of Jesus. But Pastor, you don't know how much I've been hurt. Yes, I don't. He does. And guess what He says? Forgive each other. But you don't know how badly they treated me. You're right, I don't. But Jesus does, and guess what He says? Forgive each other. It doesn't matter what you've endured. It doesn't matter what someone has done to you. Forgiveness is something that we are commanded to do, and we are commanded to do it like Jesus. Which means forgiveness has to be available. That in our own hearts, forgiveness has already been granted even before it is asked for. And that's hard for us because we want that person to squirm, don't we? When we get hurt, we want that person to hurt too. When we are treated poorly, we want that person treated poorly. It speaks to our sense of fairness, to our sense of justice. But God says, forgive. One more we're going to look at, and that's He wants us to serve one another. Jesus demonstrated this in John chapter 13. And I love this chapter in so many different ways. In fact, let's turn there because I want you to see how the Apostle John writes this out here. In John chapter 13, this is just before the Passover meal, and it says, well, I just gave it away. It was just before the Passover festival. Good on me. Jesus knew that the hour had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. Catch this. Listen to this, how John writes this here. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. Another translation says it this way. Having loved those who were His own, He now showed them the full extent of His love. This actually goes back to the first one, doesn't it? Because what's about to happen is Jesus is about to serve His disciples. And again, we're told from John that this is Jesus demonstrating His love to His disciples. Verse 2, the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power and that He had come from God and was returning to God. And there's a lot there that we could dive into, but we're not. But because of this, in verse 4, it says, He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around His waist. And after that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. Now, I want you to picture this with me, if you would. These 12 men are in the upper room with Jesus. And yes, friends, Judas was still there at this time. Judas hadn't left yet. And we're told right here, the devil had already prompted Judas to betray Jesus. He had already gone to them and gotten the 30 pieces of silver. He was just waiting for His time. Jesus knows that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God, he was returning to God, and this is what he does. He takes off his outer clothing, basically down to his, we're told he had a pair of underwear, a single cloth woven together in one piece. He puts a towel around his waist, and he goes from disciple to disciple, washing their feet. Feet that had traveled miles that day. Feet that had probably flecks of fill in the blank, dust, manure, whatever on them. Jesus got down on his hands and knees and washed that gunk off of their feet. This is service, friends. This is what Jesus is showing his disciples about what it means to serve one another. Jump to verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asks them. Now, obviously they didn't, because nobody answered. I mean, the obvious answer is, duh, you just washed our feet. Thank you for that. But he says in verse 13, you call me teacher, and you call me Lord, and rightly so, because that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Jesus says to his disciples, because I have served you as your teacher, as your Lord, as your master, you serve each other. Why is this so important? Why is Jesus hammering this home? Look at what he says here next. He says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So here is what I believe Jesus is trying to get the disciples to figure out, what he's trying to get us to figure out. When he tells us to serve one another, and again, we're told that in our service is how we demonstrate our love. It's what this passage, that's what John just told us, right? That knowing that he was going to the Father, he now showed those who he loved in the world the full extent of that love by washing their feet. We are called as followers of Jesus to serve one another because we need it. We need someone to serve us. I need you to serve me. You need me to serve you. And we can't do that if all we're doing is coming together on a Sunday morning, listening to pastor speak for 35, 40 minutes, and then going home. We need to be in community with one another outside of church. We need to be spending time together. Well, I don't have the time. Guess what? You have time. I bet there's at least one activity in your life that you could slice out and instead of doing that activity, spend time with brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to learn how to serve each other because when I have a need, if I try to meet my need, I might get my need met, but I'm the one who's doing it. And the way it works in God's economy is that if I have a need and there's a group of, say, 8 people who can help meet that need, now I have 8 people meeting my need. Is it easier for 8 people to meet a need or for me to meet my need? It's easier for 8 people to meet my need. And then I'm part of the other 8 who can meet that person's need or this person's need or that person's need. And if we're all meeting the need together, it doesn't fall on just one person. This is why serve one another is one of those majorly important commands of Scripture. Because when we serve one another, needs get met, things begin to happen, people begin to see Christ at work. And I don't believe, I mean, foot washing, I've done it once. And believe me, it was an emotional time. I loved it, and I would love to do it again. But friends, I want you to understand that what God has done, the example that Jesus set here in John chapter 13, we need to begin to say, you know what, there is nothing in this world that I wouldn't do for a brother or sister in Christ. There are a lot of other things we're told to do for one another. We're to accept one another, admonish one another, agree with one another, be hospitable to one another, be humble towards one another, be devoted to each other, fellowship with each other, honor one another, instruct one another, be kind and compassionate to one another, live in harmony with each other, speak to each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, spur one another on to love and good deeds, submit to one another. There's one that's hard, isn't it? Teach one another and think like Jesus towards one another. This is what we are to do. And again, we didn't have time to dive into all of these. But there are four things we're told not to do. The first thing is we're not to grumble against one another. Another way to translate this is to complain about each other. You know, that so-and-so, I can't believe that they said what they said. Why are we not to complain or grumble against one another? Because when we do that, we are not demonstrating Christ. We're saying that we're more important than the other person. And that goes against what we just learned about loving one another and serving one another and encouraging one another. We're also not to hate one another. It says, don't hate each other. Wow. That's an amazing one. Can I tell you that this word hate, this is not the opposite of love? Can I tell you that? You may not believe me, but the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. If I hate you, at least I'm thinking about you, right? But if I am indifferent about you and don't even care about you, I don't even think of you, that to me is the opposite of love. But we're not to hate one another. What does that word mean? What does it mean to hate someone? It means to just want that person to die. I would just like it if that person was no longer in my life, that if God were to strike him dead, my life would be so much easier. Have we ever had thoughts about someone, a brother or sister in Christ? An honest man. Thanks, John. We're not to do that. We need to stop it. Another thing that the Bible tells us not to do to one another is to slander. Don't slander one another. This is where encouragement sometimes crosses over. Right? We can be trying to encourage each other, and that can sometimes slip into slander, where we say, you know, you're kind of lazy and I want to encourage you to not be lazy anymore. Thanks, I think. It's like I'm getting hugged with one arm and punched with the other. We're not to slander one another. We're to build each other up, as we saw earlier. And another thing is that we're not to judge one another. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. Aren't we to judge what each other does? Yes, we are. But what this judgment is, it's judging someone's motives for doing something. We need to be careful because God knows the motive of what a person does. So, for example, let's say someone decides that they're going to, I don't know, go serve the at the nursing home. They're gonna do the nursing home ministry. And you can think, well, you know, I think that person's just doing that nursing home ministry so that people will look at him and say, oh, what a wonderful guy he is. You don't know that. And if you do know that, then you need to go to the person and confront them on that. It's not something you should be sharing with other people. And if you think someone is in the wrong, we are to, again, encourage one another, exhort one another, and go to that person and try to figure out exactly what is going on. Now, why does it matter? Why are we to do these one another's or not do these one another's? Why does it matter? Well, there's two reasons, and here's where I want you to see this. Number one, it's because we're the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Paul says this, just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. This, I tell you what, this is one of the funniest chapters in all of Scripture. Verse 16. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Think of it this way. Let's personify the parts of our body, shall we? Let's say our ears all of a sudden rose up in protest and said, I'm sick of being an ear. I'm sick of listening to everything that you have to say. I'm sick of listening to all this music you listen to, all these TV programs you watch. I'm just sick of it. I don't want to listen to it anymore. I am no longer part of the body. I'm done. I'm gone. Or if your foot said, no, I'm sick of being in these socks and shoes. I'm sick of, in the summer, having those that piece of sandal stuck between my toes. I don't like it. I'm done. I'm going on vacation. What would happen to your body? It wouldn't work right. All of a sudden, your feet were gone. How well are you going to walk? How well are you going to get from? Think about this. How well are you going to drive? Paul goes on. If the whole body were an eye, gull. Where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, even grosser, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Friends, it matters. These one another's matter because we are one body in Christ. We are the example of Christ to the world. Jesus went on in John chapter 13 to say just that. He said, by this the whole world will know that you are my disciples if you what? Love one another. We are the salt and the light to the, we are salt and light to this earth. Matthew 5, 13 to 16, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, how will it be made salty again? You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bowl. It matters because we're the body of Christ, but it also matters because we are created in God's image. Genesis 1, 26 to 27. God is creating the human race, and He created Adam, and then He created Eve. And it says in verse 26, Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And so God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. He created them. We need to honor each other as the image bearers of God that we are. We should see Christ in other believers. And you might say, well, this person, I don't see Christ in him, so does that mean I don't need to love him or encourage him or serve him? No, it doesn't. Someone else's lack of living like Christ doesn't give you a pass on being faithful to what God has commanded you to do. We should see God's image in all people because all mankind is created in the image of God. So brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you to love each other. I want to challenge you to encourage one another. I want to challenge you to bear with each other and forgive each other and to serve each other. We've talked enough about these things, but I want you to understand that God is calling us, you and I, to be people who are about each other, that we are about the body of Christ. Paul goes on in that 1 Corinthians 2 chapter, or 12 chapter, to say that when one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. And so when one part of the body is going through difficulty, we all go through difficulty. You see that? Can you see that? That scar on my knuckle there? Friday morning, we were dragging stuff upstairs for the yard sale. And I scraped it on the wall in the basement, and I heard it, but I didn't tend to it right away. And the next morning, it hurt to move my finger, but I still didn't do anything about it. And then I was working on the basement floor and scraping the linoleum off the basement floor, and I was taking the pry bar and getting it, and I hit it against the rough wood. And that's when I realized I need to take care of this thing. It started to bleed pretty badly, and my loving wife said, "It'll be okay, honey. I'll take care of you." No, that's not what she said. She said, "Clean it up. Clean it up. Put something on it." But you know, when we get a cut, when we get a bruise, if we don't take care of it, it will get worse. And sometimes when people are hurting, if we choose to ignore it, it will get worse. Friends, we are the body of Christ. And when there is infection, when there is hurt, when there is injury, we all need to come together as one another, living this life together, to see that cared for, because we love one another, because we want to encourage one another, because we are bearing with each other, because we forgive each other, and because we serve each other. This is what God is calling us to be and to do. And so, friends, I want to just close this morning by encouraging you and challenging you to live this life together. Let's not be the lone Christian, right? Or think we're super Christian. We can do this all on our own. Because we can't. God has given us to each other to live this life together. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for your love and your goodness. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what he has done in us and through us. And I pray, Lord, that as we continue to think about, Lord, what you are calling us to be and to do, that we would react in such a way as to bring you honor and glory. Lord, we love you and we thank you for who you are. We pray that you would help us and remind us of these one another statements, Lord, that we would love one another, that we would encourage one another, that we would bear with and forgive one another, and that we would serve one another, that we would look to lift each other up, to exhort and to challenge, yes, but Lord, to do so in a way that demonstrates your love, to care for each other as the body of Christ, and to see your image on each heart so that we might treat one another the way that you have treated us. Lord, we love you and we thank you, and we pray that we would take what we have learned today out of this place and apply it to our lives and into our families and into our communities and into our workplaces, so that you would be honored and glorified. We pray all of this in Jesus' name.